This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 14th chapter of Exodus. The children of Israel have now committed their lives to follow after Jehovah. They have left the bondage in Egypt, the life of slavery, misery. And they are determined now to serve the Lord. They're going to commit their lives to Him. They're going to follow Him. To me, it is interesting that as God leads them, the very first place He leads them is into a trap. In the second verse of the chapter, we find that the Lord spake to Moses and said, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea, opposite of Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea." Now, God led them into a valley. Pi Hahiroth is a mountainous range, as is Migdol. So going down between the mountains of Migdol and Pi Hahiroth, they are coming into a valley that comes out at the sea. There's no way out of this valley but to turn around and come back by which they came. They can't really cross over on the mountains either side, and naturally, they can't go through the sea. When the Pharaoh heard that they had turned into this valley, he laughed at their dilemma. He said, "All the earth has swallowed them up. They've become surrounded by the earth itself." He realized that it was a foolish move, and so he immediately ordered all of his chariots and his armies to seal up the pass, so it left no way for them to escape. And as the children of Israel looked behind them and saw the armies of the Pharaoh and all of the chariots moving in, and as they realized that this valley that they had entered ends at the sea, and the sea is in front of them, the mountains on either side, and now the Pharaoh's army behind them, they realized they had no place to turn. They were trapped. And so they came to Moses, who had led them in this direction. And they began to chide Moses. They said, "Why didn't you leave us alone when we were slaves in Egypt? Why did you ever come and bother us? What's the problem? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt to bury us? You decided to bring us out here and bury us in this valley? You made a big mistake, man. You've brought us all to our death." Why did you ever come in the first place? We were better off as slaves than to die here. It's better to be red than dead, Moses. Why would you do this to us? And so Moses said to the people words that weren't that comforting. He said, "Don't be afraid." Now, when we were kids, it's an amazing way that a child's imagination can specter into their minds all kinds of weird and awesome things that scare the daylights out of you. when we used to go out camping sometimes. As we would be in our sacks around the fire, we'd tell scary stories to each other, you know, gory tales, and get everybody all scared and all. And then as the embers begin to die and it gets quiet, you know, no one's telling any more stories, then is when you start hearing the cracking sounds in the woods around you, twigs that are cracking. And then's when you begin to envision the bears and the wolves and the other things in the forest that are coming to find out who's invaded our territory. And as you're lying there and it's quiet and you hear a twig snap, and so it says, "What was that?" Say, "Don't get scared." Man, you're scared to death, you know. Because you can envision that there's some bear that is there ready to pounce on you. Your imaginations can do some weird things. When Jeff was just a small boy, one night in the middle of the night, he was screaming for daddy. I went running into his room. "What's wrong? What's wrong, Jeff?" He said, "I'm scared, daddy." I said, "Well, what are you scared of?" "I think someone's trying to break into my room, daddy. I hear noises." I said, "Oh, Jeff, there's nothing to be scared of. That's just your imagination." And as I started to leave, he said, "Daddy, stay here." I said, "Son, it's just your imagination." He says, "Yep, Dad, but my imagination is scaring me." And that happens so often. It's our imagination that scares us. I can imagine all kinds of horrible things that are going to happen, and my imagination scares me. Many times there's no real basis for my fear, but my imagination scares me. But you know one of the worst things to say to a person who's scared? "Don't be scared." Man, that makes it all the worse. It doesn't comfort you when someone just says, "Don't be scared." And there's a scariness in their voice. You know that they're afraid. Moses said, "Don't be afraid." Moses said to the people, "Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now, the natural tendency when you find yourself trapped and you can't see any way out, the natural thing to do at that point is to run. The adrenaline starts really pumping into your system, and the thing is, flee, run. Doesn't matter where, just run. Try and get away from it. But Moses is saying to the people, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now, one might wonder, why would God lead his people into a trap the moment that they determine to follow him? The very first thing he does is lead them into a trap, into a valley where there's no way out. I can see two reasons. First, when Moses first came to the Pharaoh and said, "Jehovah says to let his people go," Pharaoh said, "I don't know Jehovah. Who is Jehovah that I should obey him? I don't know him, and I won't let the people go." Jehovah is about to give to the Pharaoh his final lesson as to who Jehovah is. He's going to discover just who Jehovah is for the last time. Also, God is wanting to bring his people into a new relationship with himself, where they are going to learn to trust in God completely, even though they cannot see any possible solutions. That they might realize that the God that they serve is able to make a way even when there is no way. That they might learn that God is not limited by man's resources or by man's capacities, but that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that they could ask or even think. God wants to teach them the value of being God's child. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Even that old enemy that used to keep you enslaved is nothing when you have committed your life to God. Now, when you determine to follow God, God wants you to learn these same lessons also. God wants you to come to an implicit trust in him, into a place of the discovery of his power. And so oftentimes God allows us to come into a place which seemingly is a trap. He allows us to become boxed in, where there seems to be no human way of getting out. So that we will learn not to trust in human resources, which are always limited at best, but that we will learn to trust in the all-sufficient, almighty God who is able to deliver us from any trap that the enemy might seek to ensnare our lives. And so the children of Israel, standing there in the valley, the sea in front of them, the mountains beside them, and the Pharaoh with his chariots behind them, are instructed by Moses, just stand still. See the salvation of Jehovah. You will not have to fight. The Lord will be your peace. And the enemy that you see today, take a good look, because you're looking at him for the last time. You're not going to see him again. Now, Moses was speaking to the people in faith. He didn't know yet what he was going to do or what God was going to do. I mean, he was just talking. Well, he was just keeping himself from being stoned, I think, at this point. Just talking. Talking in faith. But Moses knew that it was God who said, turn into this valley. And Moses had that confidence, if God leads me here, then God is going to lead me out of here. I don't know how yet. And so having spoken to the people to allay their fears, he then began to speak to God. But instantly God said, why are you crying to me? Well, it should be obvious, Lord, why I'm crying to you. You've got us in a mess. You've led us into this valley, and now the Pharaoh has pulled up with his truth. What do you mean, why am I crying to you? And God says, Moses, it's not time to pray, it's time to move. Time for action. And you know, there does come the time that it is time to move. We say, well, let's have a prayer meeting. God says, let's get moving. And so he told Moses, stretch out your rod and stretch your hand out over the sea, and it shall be divided. And I will put a dry path in the midst of the sea. And you command the children of Israel to walk on through the sea to the other side. Now, as God was bringing his people into this new dimension of trust and faith in him, a place of following God and the leading of God, God used a pillar of fire to guide them by day or night, and a cloud to guide them by day. When the fire moved, they moved. When the fire stood still, they camped. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stood still, they camped again. God led them all through the wilderness years by the fiery pillar and the cloud. There was another purpose other than just leading. The fiery pillar gave light to them at night in their camp, so that if they had to move at night, they could move in the light of that pillar of fire. The cloud gave them a covering by day so that they weren't exposed to the tremendous heat of that desert sun. And so it's really just a sign of God's grace. I'll shield you with the cloud so that you won't be exposed to the sun rays. Now, this night, as the fiery pillar was there, it gave them light to see the path through the sea and to make their journey all night long, to make their journey through the sea. But God took the cloud and he brought it behind them and he settled the cloud down on the Egyptians. And so here they were, sort of lost in a fog. They couldn't see the chariot next to them. They couldn't see what was happening on the other side of that fog bank. They couldn't see the children of Israel going through the Red Sea. All they could see was this thick fog that had enveloped them as the cloud of God came down and enveloped the enemy. But in the morning, when God began to lift the cloud, they then saw what God had done, how God had delivered his people. They saw the children of Israel safely camped on the other side at Baal Zephon, which means the Lord sees. And they saw the path going through the sea. And so the Pharaoh ordered his chariots, his armies, on into the sea, follow them, capture them. But as the chariots came into the sea, the Lord began to knock the wheels off the chariots so that they began to drag and they were dragged down and they became enmeshed and entangled. And then God said to Moses, now stretch out your hand over the sea once again. And as he did, the waters came together and Pharaoh and his army were drowned there in the midst of the sea. And the word of God came to pass. The enemy that they saw that night before, they never saw again. God destroyed their enemy. God's plan of deliverance requires faith. But if we step out in faith, God will be with us. And the interesting thing is he'll go before us. He'll make the path through the sea, but he also goes behind us to protect from the enemy. the lessons for us to learn are many. Many times we come to those places in our lives where we feel that we are trapped. We've been seeking to listen to the Lord and to follow the Lord. And it would seem that God deliberately led us into a trap. We find no way out. Surrounded by mountains and by the sea. The enemy pulling up behind. We think, no, I'll never get out of this. This is it. I've had it. But the interesting thing is that things are not always what they seem. Here the people were saying to Moses, we've had it. And he said, no, stand still, watch. They've had it. They were saying, Moses, we're in a trap. And he says, no, watch. They're in a trap. When the servant of Elisha came running in and said, Elisha, alas, we've had it. The Syrian army has surrounded our city. Elisha rolled over in bed and sleepily offered up a prayer. God, open his eyes that he can see the truth and doesn't wake me up in the morning. And the eyes of the servant were opened and he saw the angels of God totally surrounding the Syrian army. And his whole story changed. Rather than we've had it, he said, wow, they've had it. When God is with us, when God is for us, no weapon that is formed against you can prosper. You know, I think that each of us pass through many traps in our own lives. I know that I've come many times into that place where I've looked at the circumstances and I've said, there's no way out. And I've figured and I've fumbled and I've tried and I've sought to work my way out of a situation or to think my way out of a situation and it seems like I just am closed in and there's no way out. And having exhausted myself and my own resources, finding myself still ensnared, I hear the voice of God so often saying, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This battle is not yours, but God's. The Lord will fight for you, and he will be your peace. The enemy which you see today, you'll never see again. And oh, God brought me out. And I gloried in that work of God as he has delivered me from one experience after another where I thought I was trapped. But you see, in it all, God has revealed to me his love, his concern, and his power. And all of these develop my faith and my confidence in God. For I realize that he is faithful. And I realize that he isn't limited by my limitations. That his resources are infinite. Some of you have recently chosen to follow Jesus Christ. To commit your lives to him. And no sooner than you've made that decision, even as the children of Israel made the decision, the first thing God did was lead them into the valley. And you've been led into a valley. And it looks like the enemy is pulled up behind. And you know that you're no match for him. You know that you can't face him. that habit that kept you enslaved. That thing in your life that has held power over you. And you had struggled so long and so hard to be free. And still you knew that you were held in its power and you couldn't get free. And that day you decided, I'm going to turn it over to Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And it looks like, wow, I'm being led out. And then, pow, here I am. Mountains on both sides. The sea is in front of me. And here the enemy pulls up behind me. I go, oh, man. No way out. I've had it. And God is saying to you today, hey, I brought you to this place where you've come to the end of yourself. To this place of hopelessness in yourself and despair in order that I might reveal to you that it is not by might nor by power but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that enemy that has held you captive for so many years, that enemy of your life that has kept you in bondage, that habit that has defeated you so long and made a slave out of you, hey, you're not going to see it anymore. It's going to be destroyed. And I've brought you to this place to reveal my power and to bring you into my victory that I might triumph through you over your enemy. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Don't run. Just stand and watch God work. And you know, these experiences, rather than becoming then terrifying experiences, become exciting experiences. You say, wow, look at that. I'm trapped. Mountains on both sides, and the sea is in front of me, and man, the enemy's pulled up behind. I'm trapped. Wow. How is God going to work now? You know? And you begin to look with excitement for what God is going to do. Which way God is going to work? Is he going to remove the mountain, or is he going to part the sea? Or is he going to wipe out the enemy? I don't know which way he's going to work, but I know he's going to work. I have that confidence. God is going to see me through because I've put my trust in him. And the enemy, which has harassed me for so long, is the one who is really being led into the trap. And it's not going to harass me again. I will be free once and for all from that slavery because the Lord has delivered me. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, how we thank you for your deliverance today. So many times, Lord, you've parted that sea of difficulty. Or you remove the mountains. And what we could not do because of the weakness of our own flesh, you have done for us. And we thank you. Lord, help us not to fear, but to trust. In Jesus' name, amen. The children of Israel standing on the other side of the sea, watching the chariots getting bogged down, the wheels falling off, skidding around, and then seeing the sea return. And the army drowning. They began to sing unto the Lord. A song that God had placed in their hearts. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he is thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. And we get into chapter 15 in this glorious song of victory when they saw the enemy destroyed. And I pray that as you see your enemies destroyed by the hand of God, that you too might be led into glorious songs of praise and thanksgiving unto our God who has triumphed gloriously, casting our enemy into the sea, bringing us freedom and deliverance. Today, maybe you feel trapped. Maybe you're in circumstances where you can't see any way out. You're going through the same terror that the children of Israel went through as they found themselves surrounded. Maybe God has allowed you into that trap just so that you would turn to him today. Maybe God has drawn you here just so that you could know the power of God to deliver, in order that you might submit your life to him and then experience the power of God to deliver. And the very circumstances that more or less pushed you here today are the very circumstances that God ordained, because he didn't want you to rely upon yourself anymore, but upon his hand and upon his power to set you free. I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room. Meet with one of the pastors back there. Bring your whole situation to the Lord. Turn it over to him. And then stand back and watch God work. That enemy that has been such a terror to you for so long is about to be destroyed. And you're going to rejoice in the glorious power of God who has triumphed gloriously, destroying your enemies. May the Lord be with you and bless you and cause you to triumph in all things in Christ, being strengthened by the power of his Spirit in your inner man. May you come into a fuller comprehension of God's love, of God's grace, of God's power, and of God's purpose for your life as you surrender yourself to follow him and to be led by his Spirit. In Jesus' name.